بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونستهديه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهدي الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. سيد المرسلين وخاتم النبيين ورحمة للعالمين، وصلى الله على آله الطاهرين الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. أوصيكم عباد الله ونفسي بتقوى الله. This week we celebrated the birth anniversary of our eighth Imam, Imam Ali ibn Musa Raza alayhi salatu wasalam. I would like to revisit the statement of the Imam during his journey from Medina to Marv as a official guest of the Khalifa of the time. The highlight of the journey was his stay in Nishapur, which is near Mashhad. The day he was leaving Nishapur, which was a city of knowledge at the time, you know, thousands of people actually gathered to bid farewell to the Imam while he was continuing his journey towards Marv. And the ulama were part of that gathering, and they were the one who actually requested the Imam while he was already on the camel litter, that before you leave, we would like to hear a hadith from you, the hadith of the Prophet through you. That was a very important point for them, that this would be a hadith narrated by somebody who is in the direct line of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that hadith became very popular even in the Sunni books now, including an individual by the name of a Hanafi scholar who has a book called Yanabi al-Mawadda. There also he has his own, with his own sanad, that Imam, you know, opened the curtain which was there around him in that litter of the camel, and looked outside, and he started reciting the hadith with his sanad, where he says, I heard from my father, who said that he was told by his father, going all the way to Amir al-Mu'mineen. And that is where Amir al-Mu'mineen said, I sami'tu an-nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That I heard the Prophet saying. Now, normally the hadith would have ended there, where the Prophet would have uttered something. But this was not a hadith, this is known as hadith Qudsi. Because now Rasulullah says, Sami'tu Jibreel, I heard from Jibreel, who said that I heard from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's not a hadith which is from Rasulullah, this is hadith Qudsi, the words of Allah which is not there in the Quran. That's why we separate the hadith from hadith Qudsi. And what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? La ilaha illallah hisni. This kalima of tawheed, La ilaha illallah, is my castle, it is my fortress. فَمَنْ دَخِلَ حِسْنِي أَمِنَ مِنْ عَذَابِي. Whoever enters into this castle of La ilaha illallah, in a symbolic way saying that whoever accepts the tawheed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَمِنَ مِنْ عَذَابِي, he will be protected from my punishment and chastisement. And this is where we have to realize that when we talk about Tawheed, that is the foundation of our faith. And interestingly, the words, although it's very simple, La ilaha illallah, it consists of two parts. The first one is the negative one, La ilaha. Before you come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you have to negate the divinity of all false gods, whether it is a human being or an animal or a tree or a plant or any object in this world or in this space. You have to basically reject. And this is where you say, La ilaha, there is no God. And only then you come to the positive side of it, where you say, Illallah, except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is also reflected in this famous passage from Ayatul Kursi, where you say, وَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِالْتَّاغُوتِ وَيُؤْمِنْ بِاللَّهِ. Look at the same sequence. It is negative first and then the positive. Whoever basically does kufr, rejects the taghut, and then believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَقَدْ اسْتَمْسَكَ بِالْعُرْوَةِ الْوُسْقَى لَنْفِصَامَ لَهَا. Then he has indeed got hold of a very strong source or rope, which will never break. Now, when we look at this concept here, of course, at-taghut is a very general term. It is basically used for all categories of false gods. One of the false god is something which we don't really think about it. We say maybe a human being like Fir'aun was worshipped by people, or a stone or an image of an idol, you know, or maybe a tree or a river or the sun or the moon, you know, other items. But one of the concepts in Quran is that when a person looks at his own hawa, his own evil desires, and considers that to be his God. You know, when we look at the, of course, everybody has desires. And we constantly, you know, deal with it. It is a challenge for us. And we constantly try to be closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by suppressing the evil desires. That is part of the imtihan. But when the evil desires overcome us, and where we start saying that Allah says this is haram, but I say this is halal, that is where now you're replacing your desires with God. And this concept is not just, you know, it's not a khitabat, it's not a rhetoric statement here. If you look at Surah Furqan, Surah number 25, ayat 43, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addressing the Prophet, he says, أَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَهُهُ هَوَىٰ. O Muhammad, have you seen, or do you know of somebody who has taken his desires for his God? So this concept is there, that you can replace God with your own desires as an ilah. اتَّخَذَ إِلَهُهُ هَوَاهُ. He takes his desires as his ilah and his God. فَأَنْتَ تَكُونُ عَلَيْهِ وَكِيلًا. O Muhammad, then you will be a counsel for him? Speak on his behalf? No. And this problem of, you know, following our own desires, considering something which Allah has said haram to be okay, it's not a new problem. It has been there from day one. But in the past, all these things were done on a personal, individual level. But now in the modern days, we are actually facing a problem where this phenomenon of following our sinful desires has taken a social form. And to be more clear about it, look at LGBT movement. It's not that this is not as a new phenomenon. This has been there. You had the story of people of Lut. But this social form of it, where it has become a movement, where they have this lobby and influence in the societies, from the legislation to the school boards. And this is where we are actually now having this challenge of not people becoming Hindu or Christian or Yehud or Buddhist or something else. It is the challenge between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as the God and our own evil desires. And this is something we have to keep in mind. You know, of course, we live in a non-Muslim country, which is a secular country, and we, you know, cherish the values of Canada to a great extent. We believe in this concept of live and let live. But we will not agree, and we will not allow other groups to impose their views on us. We have our own moral values. We should not be forced to change our religious and moral values just because the trend is changing. This is where we have to stand firm on our moral values. We don't want to impose our values on others. This is not an Islamic society, so that whole discussion is out of the context, you know. If you had to look at it in the Canadian context, if somebody wants to have a lifestyle, it's their choice. The legal system allows, we have nothing to do with that. But that should not be forced upon us, you know, to the extent that we see even in the elementary school, you know, this idea is being promoted in such a way. It's not just an issue of, you know, live and let live. It is an issue of saying you have to accept this. And that is where we have the problem. And, you know, it is not an issue that we can compromise on it. When it comes to same-sex marriage or relationship, this is clearly haram. And there is no room for any, you know, personal ijtihad on this issue. You know, there has been an attempt on even on this issue, but no. You know, it is very clear. It's not only a challenge that we face as a Muslim community here. Look at the Catholic community here in Canada, right in York region. This is our region now. Even here, they have a problem. And we see, for example, the York Catholic District School Board this week. You know, they had to deal with a motion at the school board whether they should raise the pride flag in July at the Catholic schools in York region or not. And the motion was defeated 6-4. The chairman of the York Catholic District School Board was very clear on this issue that why we rejected this motion. Although Toronto has done it, but York Region Catholic Board has not. And he was very clear about it. He says, it is why I became a Catholic school trustee to ensure that York Catholic District School Board remains Catholic. It is what parents send their children to your Catholic schools expect. And this is where we would say that, you know, on this issue, we stand with the Catholics of our region. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give the courage for the people to stand up for our values. And we don't have to compromise on that, but we are not even imposing our views on others. Inna ahsan al-hadith, kitabullah al-aziz, bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Wal asr, inna al-insana lafi khusr, illa al-ladhina amanu wa amal al-salihat, wa tawasaw bil-haq, wa tawasaw bil-sabr. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الذي لا إله إلا هو الحليم الكريم غافر الذنب وقابل التوب وهو الغفور الرحيم ونشهد أن لا إله إلا هو العطوف للعباد بجوده والعواد على المذنبين بحلمه ونشهد أن محمدا نبيه وحبيبه سيد المرسلين وشفيع المذنبين ورحمة للعالمين صلى الله عليه وآله الداعين إلى سبيل الله بالحكمة والموعظة الحسنة قادة الأمم وأولياء النعمة ومعدن الرحمة أوصيكم عباد الله بالتوبة ما سلف من ذنوبكم. You know, sometimes the issue of equality is brought up. You know, we should be inclusive. And sometimes we have different discussion with the groups, even the school boards, who sometimes come and visit us on different issues, faced by the Muslim students at the schools here. And when this issue comes up, I said, you know, it's so interesting that you talk about inclusion. But why if I'm only for one group? Even Muslims are a minority, and they're suffering in different ways. You know, when you have in your textbooks, for example, when you talk about the family unit, you have a picture of a man and a woman, then you have another picture, and these are in elementary schools, where you have a man and a man, and a third one, woman and a woman. I said, if you really want to be inclusive, there is a Muslim minority also in Canada, add one more picture, a man with two women. If you really want to be inclusive, do that. And I'm not promoting, you guys don't go and say. You know, in the marriage contract that I have been, you know, proposing for the last 20 years now, where the first condition says very clearly that the husband is delegating the irrevocable authority to the wife to get herself divorced religiously if he marries a second wife without her consent. So, you know, don't get any wrong ideas. I'm just saying, if you're talking about inclusion, then bring everyone in there, you know. They will say, oh, no, that's, you know, suppressing the woman. I said, come on. You know, if they are willing, the whole issue of us consent. Okay, and this is where, you know, even when it comes to some of these articles that I've seen, they even bring this whole story of Prophet Lut's people. And they say Quran has condemned this same-sex relationship only because it was forced, implying that if it is by consent, then there is no problem. And I read this story of Prophet Lut in different parts of the Quran again and again and again. I don't see that. You know, they are just reading their own version of history to justify it, that even Quran is okay. You know, you look at Surah number 7, ayat 80 to 81, Surah number 29 and 20, ayat 28. You will see Lut alayhi salam says, أَتَأْتُونَ الْفَاهِشَ مَا سَبَقَكُمْ بِهَا مِنْ أَحَدٍ مِنَ الْعَالَمِينَ. Repeated in another surah also. Al-fahisha is being used for what they were doing. Another ayat, 27, surah 27, 54, وَلُوطًا اسْقَالَ لِقَوْمِهِ أَتَأْتُونَ الْفَاهِشَ. Then again, we come to Surah Anbiya, Surah Hud, ayat 78, where it says, وَكَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ السَّيِّئَاتِ. They used to do sayyat. And then another ayat from Surah Anbiya, ayat 74, where, you know, the malaika are saying, we basically rescued Lut and his followers from that city. التي كانت تعمل الخبائث. Because they were involved in خبائث. This is the plural of خبيث. And they were وَكَانُوا قَوْمَ سُوءٍ فَاسِقِينَ. So you have all these terms in Quran saying that what they were doing was indecent act. It was an evil act. It was a disgusting act. It was sinful act. Where do you get this issue that this was, you know, only because it was forceful? And this is where we have to realize that, you know, this kind of reinterpretation of Quran in order to just justify, you know, our own whims and desires, this is actually part of this system where we are trying to replace Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with our own hawa and hawas. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the strength to be on the sirat al-mustaqim, inshallah. Let me now conclude going back to the story of Imam Ridha alayhi salam. The Imam, through his sanad and chain of narration, described this hadith Qudsi from Rasulullah Jibreel and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where he says, whoever says La ilaha illallah, he has entered into my castle, and he will be protected from my adhab. An Imam put the curtain down. The camel started moving. Then Imam raised the curtain again. And now he said something which is not part of Hadith Qudsi. This is his commentary about that. And he says, yes, Allah has said that if you say La ilaha illallah, you will be protected from my adhab. وَلَكِنْ بِشُرُوطِهَا This salvation has certain conditions. وَعَنَا مِنْ شُرُوطِهَا And one of the conditions is myself. My vilayat and imam. It's very similar to what, you know, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Mecca, he used to say, قُولُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ تُفْلِحُ Say, لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ and you will gain salvation. Did it mean that you don't have to say Muhammadun Rasulullah? No, that is a basic message, but it comes with certain expectations and conditions. And an important condition would be that after La ilaha illallah, you say Muhammadun Rasulullah. And according to this eighth Imam, the third condition would be you say Aliyun Waliullah, and the Imams who come from among his descendants. And that is why in our ziyarat sometimes you will see people recite the ziyarat of Imam Ridha alayhi salam, where they say Thalitha Shurut La ilaha illallah. You know, the third of the conditions of La ilaha illallah is referring to this incident of Nishapur. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us always on the path of Muhammad and Ali Muhammad. اللهم صل على سيد المرسلين وشفيع المذنبين نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وعلى إمام المتقين وأمير المؤمنين علي بن أبي طالب صلى الله عليه وعلى سيدة نساء العالمين سيدتنا فاطمة بنت رسول الله وعلى سيد الشباب أهل الجنة الحسن المجتبى والحسين الشهيد بكربلاء اللهم صل على أئمة المسلمين علي بن الحسين ومحمد بن علي وجعفر بن محمد وموسى بن جعفر وعلي بن موسى ومحمد بن علي وعلي بن محمد والحسن بن علي عليهم الصلاة والسلام اللهم صل على محمد اللهم صل على مولانا الحجة بن الحسن صاحب العصر والزمان ما أحيا سال البدء وتغيان هادم يا أمنية الشرك والنفاق حاسد فر البغي والشقاق صلوات الله وسلامه عليه وعلى آباء الكرام ما اتصلت الليالي والأيام اللهم عجل فرج وصح المخرج واكحل ناظرنا بنظرة منا إليه واجعلنا من المستشهدين بين يديه اللهم اجعلنا ممن يذكر فتنفعه الذكرى إن الله يعمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون